Would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video actually last Friday, and it had you talking at the socialist union.
Yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally, and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
That was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account?
Well, I actually believe that it is possible to exist in politics without lying.
We drum that messaging around.
Back it up a little bit and talk about like the issues with the centralisation. You think about how difficult is it? Suppose your rubbish is not being collected out the front of your house. Is it going to be easier for you to ring up local council and get that problem sorted? Or is it going to be easier for you to ring up central government and get that problem sorted? You know, 9 times out of 10, it's the people closer to your physical sphere of operation. You're going to probably get a bit more traction with a local body to get the problem sorted rather than having to go to central government and you're just sitting in a massive pool of problems on an endless queue of people that need it.
They would just departmentalise it.
They're not going
to and send you back to your local.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, if the local body or local representative doesn't exist, then you're just going to sit there, never getting the problem sorted. And I guess like the illustration I'm trying to make is like, if healthcare is basically centralised, then you know when you as an individual have a problem,
you're not going to get the care you need.
Falling into a pool, the universal pool, and you're just a number in a universal system. And you're not going to get
I can understand
or the traction.
It's like because of the centralisation, they can now say, we're not doing those operations in that hospital now. If you want the operation, you've got to go up to this hospital up here. That's the only one we're going to let you to get that from. So you might have to travel from one end of the country, from Invercargill up to Auckland because they've decided those operations are going to be done there only instead of because we've closed that department down in the Invercargill one.
Yep.
That's what this new system is.
Exactly, and that's the other. That's a really good point. But the other problem here is that like these centralized decision makers are detached from the issues on the ground. You know, the issues that are close, they're not sensitive to the fact that, you know, a community has needs and there's legitimate reason for a particular health service to be made available to that community. And so you have these, I used to work at Fonterra and, you know, you're just aware of the sort of management hierarchy and like big decisions have been made at the past at the top, which just affect teams further down, and it's like, you know, it's important that decision making is sort of like accounting for different levels in an organization.
Well,
that organization cannot operate effectively, right? And
you know, that's right, because that can come back to what it's like before you would go to that hospital. And you would be dealing with them, so you'll be dealing with them and making decisions, and you will get your result. Now you go to the hospital, they take that up, and then they send that into another area. And it's got to go up to another level somewhere else for those people to make the decision. They don't know you. They don't know what you're going through. They don't care about your area. It's like, let's just umbrella everybody for the same sort of thing. Don't worry about it. So what you're saying there is 100% right.
Hey, on a completely different thing, I just came across something before talking about so-called climate lockdowns, and apparently there's a small place over in the UK where it's called Oxfordshire, where they're sort of supposedly hedging towards restriction on resident travel based on the climate emergency. So it's gone from those lockdowns probably to sort of these climate lockdowns.
They're
you can't
still
travel outside of your 15-minute city because, you know, the climate is the answer.
There's meant to be China still has lockdowns over there, hardcore lockdowns somewhere over there as well.
Yeah,
we can't get it, though.
Oh, no, that's crazy. Like, I've seen, like, drone footage of the isolation camps and literally like the isolation, like the buildings, the little like what are they, shipping containers, the old buildings, they just go to the horizon. They just like go the whole way out this highway, like literally to the horizon. It's just insane.
Is that the ones down in Auckland? Down in the Auckland Wharves or somewhere, apparently, I've seen one video of it, and they had heaps of these, like, maybe 30 square meter prefabbed transportable houses, sort of like the container frames with the plastic foam walls and the like refrigeration. They had heaps of those that they can just lift them off, and they can stack them like containers. But these are big places, like 2 40-foot containers together as one, several rooms of them. And they're being used around the world. It's like there's some factory making these things, and they can stack these on top of each other and could set stairs and stuff onto them and put fences around them as a compound. In Auckland, there was a bit of video of somebody driving through one of the areas there next to the storage area of the container somewhere with heaps of them on the ground. And then there's been another one shown recently of them driving around the outside fence, and they're actually stacked up too high with a fence around them, making them into like big isolation complexes, double storied side by side. I'm just wondering. I have had only seen that one thing of what's going on in Auckland. It's you can't access it. I'm just wondering if that is actually for real or not. Have they got these compounds set up here now with these kit set buildings? I think there's heard tell of they've also got some in Australia as well. So
yeah, what you're describing kind of sounds like what I'm seeing.
Yep.
In the footage from China, it's like these sort of.
They've actually got it overseas somewhere where they've got them set up as a compound, and they're bringing people in buses. And there's guards there, there's police. They've got them under guard, taking them off the buses and moving them into these complexes, walking hundreds of meters from the bus drop-off area across to where they're going to be checked in, and they're put into these big complex areas.
It's scary, yeah, when you sort of see what's happening in China. It's like,
well, they're saying this is under
followed around
under healthcare.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like nobody. I think like there's this sort of awakening happening over there where it's like, you know, with apparently like the most cases.
So where are they actually taking healthcare in the world? Not just in New Zealand. New Zealand, the healthcare system is breaking down more and more. You can see it day by day.
Yeah.
They're refusing to. Here's a good thing about how the New Zealand health system's going. There's a very big problem with the components in this RMNA substance that they're putting into people. It's making people die. It's making people have serious adverse reactions. And the health system is denying that it's there, that it's real. And they are not putting any money into finding out what is actually going on to help the people who are sick. And a normal, proper health system would actually say, hey, what's going on here? We need to find out what this is so we can stop these people getting sick. And that has been completely the opposite. We don't care. Take the vaccine. It will save your life. This is where the system is broken right now, more than it has ever been broken. There's a major health issue going on, and they're saying, no, there's not. These people are getting sick and dying from this vaccine. No, they're not. And they shut it off. They will bring the law in and make you arrest you and put you in jail and say, no, there's not. Welcome to the healthcare. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. It's amazing times. It's amazing that we're sort of in this time where all of this stuff that we sort of expected to be true about.
Well, it's like people are saying you're a crazy conspiracy theorist. How can you make this stuff up? How can you make this stuff up?
Yeah, I remember like years ago telling people, you know, posting on Facebook and stuff about like heavy metals, barium, gold, and all that sort of stuff being sprayed around in the atmosphere, and you know, people laughing and you know, saying conspiracy theorists and all that stuff. And here we are, what, early 2020s, and you know, you can like.
It's funny you mentioned that.
On all these sorts of things, talking about this. You know, they're actually sort of like publishing this and proposing it, floating it as like an idea. Hey, you know, is this an option for soldiers?
It's like you're saying that about, hey, people back then talking about hay spraying in the air. I watched the movie of Woodstock a week ago or so. The actual movie, how they put it together, the guy that put it together, and how they built the stage and got everyone to come out, and how it ended up being a disaster area, and the military Air Force was coming in and bringing in food and taking six people out, and because the whole state or that area was gridlocked, people couldn't get in or out. There were so many people there, they couldn't get food in or out. People were coming and feeding them, bringing food in and feeding them. Even in that, the start of the concert was fine, and then they got these planes going over, big planes, and one of the guys there just turned around, I wish these guys would piss off and stop seeding the air. They were even back then in Woodstock. And then you know what happened? The next day it rained. That's when the Woodstock became a disaster. Right. It turned into a mud pit, but the people didn't leave like they wanted them to. They stayed there and kept going once it dried out. Even back then, they were known to be seeding shit into the air to affect the rain, the weather. I thought that was quite hard case.
Yeah, I mean, I think if there's any doubt about what we're saying on this topic, anybody could look up what is Operation Sea Spray. I remember as a kid, it's funny things that stick with you, but I remember seeing something on, of all places, 6 o'clock news, and Bill Clinton, they had a little piece, and Bill Clinton was apologizing for military experiments done over in the San Francisco region of California, and like over the city, and the apology was, I think, down to a guy who was, there's apparently one official casualty from this sort of military experiment. Anyway, it was codenamed like Operation Sea Spray. And you can look that up. It'll be on, I'm pretty sure last time I looked it up was a year or so ago.
It'll be one of many you can look up.
Could I just chop in here, Dacre and Max? We've got Liz Lambert waiting, and I think she might be running a bit short of time, so I just wonder if we could just let Liz have a chat for a moment. But before Liz does, Alison made a comment. She said that her son had an inguinal hernia. That's one sort of, not a femoral one, but just close by in the groin, usually on the right side, I think. And her child, almost 30 years ago, she said, I'm unsure what fabric was used. You see, even 30 years ago, they might not have even used a fabric. They might have just stitched it up. But his surgery went well. He recovered usual in those days. Good recovery. And eliminated the hernia and the pain. So that's good. 30 years ago, they were doing a great job.
But it's like the majority of that
also,
stuff does work.
Also, you mentioned Woodstock. Big pun?
The main part of surgery does work. But there is a lot of some operations, there's very little percentage of recovery. These hernias, they have a good rate of recovery from them. Some places, though, don't. It's so you look good on them. Mm. And I'm happy that it
I've
worked
just heard
out
horror stories about the fabric.
Yep. Mm. Well, there's also...
sorry to interrupt. Dacre, you mentioned about Woodstock, or was it you, Max? Did you mention Woodstock?
Yeah, mate. Yep.
Yeah. At the time of Woodstock, there was a pandemic. And I think it was, I can't remember what it was, but I know that there was one. And yet nobody at Woodstock came down with whatever it was. And I can't remember what it was. Liz might know, but I can't remember. But it was definitely, there was a major pandemic at the time, and they just carried on. They didn't wear masks. They just carried on.
Woodstock.
And I think it was a bit more than flu. I think it was something quite serious, like I don't know what it was, but I'll have to look it up. But there was a pandemic at the time. Mm. So sorry to cut you guys off, but hang around and you can get back to it.
People should not be walking around with masks. Let me just state for the record that masks are not theater. Wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and
masks are protective, and we.
But it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is.
There has not been any indication that putting a mask on and wearing a mask for a considerable period of time has any deleterious effects.
There are
unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course.
You do not need to wear a mask indoors if, in fact, you've been vaccinated. Good that you're vaccinated, but in a situation where you have people indoors, particularly crowded, you should wear a mask.
So even if you are vaccinated, you should wear a mask.
That if, in fact, you are vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you are protected, and you do not need to wear a mask outdoors or indoors.
When the children go out into the community, you want them to continue to wear masks.
You know, if you look at children outside, particularly when they're with the family, walking down the street, playing a game or what have you, don't have to wear a mask.
The Academy of Pediatric actually makes that recommendation that children should be wearing masks from 2 years old onward.
And you're asking now, if your child is a member of your household, can you walk outdoors with your child without a mask? According to that chart, the answer is yes.
But the child can't, not to beat it to death. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Because now the CDC says, I mean, I think I've got this right. One mask is better than zero masks. Two masks is better than one mask. But you don't have to have double masks. Is that right? I mean,
you know, it became clear that cloth coverings that you didn't have to buy in a store, that you could make yourself, were adequate.
And then you want it to fit better. So one of the ways you could do it, if you would like to, is put a cloth mask over, which actually here and here and here, where you could get leakage in, is much better contained.
And are you a double masker, Dr. Fauci? Look like you are.